Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. But one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time when leadership has never been more critical in the workplace and in the world. As such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is William F. Merck II. Bill has a lifetime of experiences which have contributed to his success in the working world. He began his career path with summer jobs in high school and full-time employment in private and government sectors during college. As a military officer, university vice president, and community board member, he turns his deep knowledge of institutional hierarchies into a masterclass on leadership integrity, risk, and personal accountability. Bill is also the author of the timely book, So, You Want to Be a Leader? Secrets of a Lifetime of Success. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Bill.
Good morning to you too, Greg. I appreciate being here.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share from what city and state you are speaking this morning, please.
I am now in Orlando, Florida.
You have just made this host and the listeners very, very jealous. One of the most beautiful places in God's green earth, that's for sure. Bill, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours literally talking about your experience, your background, your life, this fabulous book you've written. We're jumping right into the deep end of the pool. Thank you so much for your service, your military service for our country. How did serving in the military help you become the successful leader you are today?
For me, it was personally a very satisfying experience. I learned so much from it. I learned about a lot about other people, people that from all walks of life, and how to manage myself when I was put in a position of leadership to accomplish particular goals and objectives.
Wow. But that sounds like it was a wonderful experience for you.
It was, you know, at the time, anybody that's going through military training, they have to ask themselves, what am I doing here in the hands of all of these crazy people? But afterwards, you realize there was a point to it, and the point was really successful in helping me to understand teamwork and working with other people and providing me with some leadership skills.
Oh, wow, that is terrific. Now, I used to work in the Center for Career Exploration for many years at St. Francis College before moving over into Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue. And one of the things that I noticed, even in my own life, is that interviewing can be very, very challenging.
Yes.
You are a master at this, Bill. Provide, please, for us some tips that you can offer college students or maybe people already in the workplace for interview success.
Well, I think what's been important for me and what I'd like to impart to others is interviews are two-way streets. Often a person will go into an interview believing and thinking that they have to just put their best foot forward and they just focus on themselves and telling about themselves. Well, that's only half of it. The other half is in being interviewed, you need to think about what is it that they're looking for? The person that's interviewing me, what do they want? What do they need? I've seen the job posting, the job advertisement, but that's a generic statement. And no one wants to lay out their problems and the dirty laundry in an advertisement, but that's there. And they need a person that they're looking for in this job process, somebody to help them solve some of these problems, to help them move ahead. So in the course of being interviewed, you need to look carefully, try to figure out what is it they're really looking for, and then focus on that and showcase the skills that you have that you believe can help them solve the problems that are starting to become evident in that interview process. Then they'll see that you have value. You can help them with what it is, whatever it is that they need that wasn't really clear in the ad.
This sounds like a wonderful approach. So if I perceive what you're saying, a job would not become available unless there's some challenges, the organization's facing some, has some problems. So if we perceive—
Maybe not even a problem, but some objective that they don't have people in place to handle for them.
Oh, wow.
It might be a whole new thing that this company or this organization has come upon, and they need somebody to help them do whatever it is to reach their goals.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you very, very much. Now, you have a lot of nuggets, a lot of knowledge for building success in one's career. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into all of them, but maybe do you have a top four or five tips maybe that you can share with us? And maybe for each tip, share a little bit about each, please.
Well, tips for building success. One is whatever organization you're in, you need to make yourself stay current with the goals of that organization, because they can shift over time. The environment changes, customer base changes, the executive hierarchy changes. You need to keep in tune with what they really want. A second thing that's really important if you're going to be a leader is to work on your speaking skills. That is really important, because if you're a leader, you're going to have to be imparting what you want people to do and why it's important to do it and what's in it for them. Why should they be motivated? And so storytelling, too, is an important part of speaking, because often a story can help people visualize an objective that you're wanting them to be involved in. Another thing that's really important is your own character and integrity. Your reputation over time is extremely important if you're going to succeed in business. And people will see over time what you really like. Are you truthful? Are you honest? Do you deal straight with them? People sense that if they don't just see it straight out. And that is so important for maintaining your leadership over time. Another thing is not being afraid to take responsibility and be accountable for your decisions. That's really important. So many people, when something goes bad, they immediately look for someone else to put the blame on. That is a weak leader. You need to say, okay, this, if it goes well, great. My team takes the credit. If it goes poorly, I was the leader of that team. The accountability and the responsibility is mine for that. Wow. So that's really important. But also building a team around you is so important. Often when you go into a new job, you'll inherit a team. And it takes a little time to figure out who the stars are and who are the problem people. And over time, you can work through that. But you have the opportunity along the way, if you're in a position long enough, to hire your own people. So it's really important to fill your team, to round them out. You don't want clones of yourself. Heck no, that's not good. You want people that have strengths where you don't, and that complement each other, and you want them to work together to achieve goals.
Thank you so much. All of these great, great tips. And it's amazing what you said about reputation.
Oh, yeah.
I know sometimes it takes a lifetime to build up and can crumble instantly. No doubt about that. But it's so interesting, Bill, because I knew the minute that Maddie, your publicist, shared with us your great book, we've got to get Bill Merk on this show because you're about accountability. We're about accountability, taking responsibility, accountability for one's future. So thank you for these nuggets that you've just shared with us.
Would you mind if I added one more explanation to that? When not all of the decisions you make are going to be successful. I mean, some things are not going to go the way you'd hope they would, and things go bad. A good leader does not let that destroy them. They just take it in stride. They say, okay, I'm at fault here, or maybe I'm not at fault, but I'm the team leader. So it falls on me to take responsibility for this thing that did not work, but I'm not going to let it debilitate me. I'm going to say, okay, what did we learn from this? What can we do next time that will make this, whatever it was that we did, make it better, and look at it as a learning experience, not just a quote failure.
Thank you for mentioning that, because for my 30 years in big pharmaceuticals before becoming a brother and now over 10 years in higher education, sometimes you have all the information, you make a decision, it's really the best decision at the time, and then as you inferred, things happen you just don't expect, and it doesn't come out the way you thought it was going to.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
It's a learning experience, but we can't beat each other ourselves up in that situation.
Just have to move forward, learn from it, though. That's really important.
Wow.
To learn from it.
Learning from it. Oh, that's excellent. Now, one of the things I think you alluded to a little bit, but we want to peel the onion on this, please, is coping with continually changing workplaces. Because it seems like, I know as I get older and even higher ed the last 10 years, the metabolism and things are changing so rapidly. Coping with all these changes can be very tough. Might you have a thought or two in this regard? How do we cope with this continuously changing work?
Well, I think probably first thing is just be situationally aware. You need to be open, keep your eyes open, and understand how the world is changing around you. And it's always changing. Don't get lost in the past. Understand where things are now, what the world is about, and stay current with it, because as time goes on, a lot of your employees are going to change. A lot of them are going to become, as you get older, the employees are going to be younger, and they're going to come from a different background than you went through. And it's really important that you understand what that is, particularly if you have any hope of motivating that workforce to help achieve some goals. You have to know what's important to them and why is it important. And that's just really critical, I think, in a changing world. But at the same time, I think it's also, and this corollary is, you need to always do what you believe to be right. When you get into political or other types of scenarios where people have views that you don't agree with, you need to work around those, but maintain your core integrity and do and act the way you believe in your heart support the values that you have as a human.
Oh, that speaks volumes, no doubt about that. Now, I want to, if it's okay with you, I want to go back to your military experience.
Sure.
Just for a moment, because I'm sure being in the military, you learned a lot. It sounds like you did, certainly. Is there a lesson or two that you learned from the military that can be applied to even everyday career success, Bill?
I think being, as we've already said, learning to be responsible and accountable for your actions and the actions you direct others to take. Those are your responsibilities. Look out for the welfare of your teammates. Take care of them. That is something that the military emphasizes and is so important in the civilian workplace. And always remain creative and adaptable to new circumstances. In the military, that's critical if you're going to survive and things change, and they always do. You need to be able to adapt and change and overcome whatever obstacle you're facing. And that's true in everyday life outside of the military as well.
Thank you. The light bulb just went on that the environment in the military can be quite similar to the environment in the workplace.
Absolutely.
Those nuggets that you learn there, those key lessons, can very, very well be applied, not only by you who've experienced it, but by me and others as well that you're sharing these with today. Now, kind of a related question. I don't know if you've coined this phrase, but it's one I perceive you like to use, commander of your career. I love this phrase. What does this mean to you?
To me, it means nobody else is going to do it for you.
Wow.
You need to understand that in this life, you need to set your own goals, decide what you want to achieve, and then lay out a plan for yourself as to how you're going to get there. And so that's being commander of your career. It's like I said, to start, nobody's going to do it for you. You're going to, if you want to be successful, it's up to you to determine how to do that. Now, you'll get help along the way, don't get me wrong, but do you listen to that help when it comes? Do you understand that other people are there to help you, or do you shrug it off? So you need to just understand where you want to go and develop a plan to get there.
This reminds me so much of my wonderful late father, who 1929 joined Chase Manhattan Bank, now J.P. Morgan Chase. And the rules, basically, he told me, where I worked hard and I was loyal, I knew I would have a job for life. And sure enough, 45 years later, he retired from Chase. Those days are long, long over with. And thank you for mentioning that. You know, we've got to do it for ourselves. The company, the Chases of the world and the other organizations aren't going to do it for you anymore. That's for sure. Very, very fascinating.
No.
Now, you are a leadership expert, Bill. There have got to be some do's of every good leader, I would think, at least one or two, maybe some don'ts. Share with us, please, from your
right. I think the don'ts, the opposite of the don'ts are the things to do.
Ah.
And one of the mistakes leaders make is micromanaging. And so a thing that you do well as a leader is you try not to micromanage your employees, because you'll you can see where that goes. Taking credit for the work of others is a really bad thing to do. That can destroy morale. If I've done something really great and I'm so proud of it, and then you go meet with the board and you talk about what you accomplished and don't mention me, oh, that's a killer. That can really hurt morale. Plus, the bosses at the top kind of know that you didn't do everything solo anyway. So it makes the leader look bad when they try to do that. So it's a loser. Living in the past is something that I've seen some people do. If early in their career, they were successful and things really went well in a certain environment, and they lock in on that. And then 10 or 15 years later, they're put in a position that seems similar to what they had success with before, but they're not aware of the changes in the environment, and they try to replicate what was successful 10 or 20 years before.
Oh,
and
it just doesn't wow.
work in the current environment. The principles might work, but the implementation can be totally different. Going back to your point about the workforce and the changes in our society, it's you need to look at it differently. Another big one is, if you expect consensus on all decisions, you're going to be sadly disappointed, because this is my experience. The more difficult and controversial a situation is, and you're looked at to make a decision as to what to do in those circumstances, you'll consult the people around you. Well, they're going to have their own ideas about it, but they're not accountable. They're not really responsible for it. So they can talk all they want and say you're wrong, you can't, but you have to end up listening to all of those points of view, pulling together what you think is appropriate to you, and then you make a decision knowing that everybody's not going to agree with it, but you're the one that's going to be responsible for it. So it needs to be your decision, not someone else's.
Oh.
That's really important, I think.
Oh, that's a great one. That's so difficult, because sometimes, and I believe I was guilty of this at times, I would disagree with a decision made, and then I wouldn't go along with it. I would kind of sabotage it. So the leader has to do whatever he or she can to try to get everyone, once that decision is made, to move forward together. Not right, even another, being a leader today, that's for sure.
Another one is I've seen is people that are afraid to make mistakes. That's really bad too, because as going back to decisions that are difficult or controversial, there's a lot of opportunities to make mistakes in some of the things that you try to do. And if you freeze up because you're just so afraid you'll make a mistake, you won't do anything. The time will pass, and right there, you've made a gigantic mistake in being afraid to make mistakes.
Wow. That is a really, really important thing that we need to take action, not be afraid, certainly. Now, one of the things I've noticed, again, in my former career and even in higher ed sometimes, bosses and top executives, they don't understand their sphere of influence, just how significant it is.
Right.
How can these top people really understand their influence in the workplace? Please, Bill.
I don't know how you make them understand it. It should be something that's inherent, but it maybe just having it pointed out that all of us as leaders, we are mentors for others, whether we realize it or not. People look at you, they see what you do and how you act. And if you're successful, they want to know, what did you do to be successful? And if somehow, let's take an extreme example, you were really not a very nice person and you walked over a lot of people to get to the top, they're going to see that as the way to success, and they're going to copy that behavior.
Oh.
If you've shown that you have empathy and that you built a team and you were able to make people have careers rather than just jobs, they'll copy that. And so in a leadership position, you're watched, and that's not just at work, but people see you in social events or other places. You're being watched as a leader, and people will emulate your behavior, good or bad. And some people now, thoughtful people, will see the bad behavior and they'll say, well, I'm not doing that, because I heard a talk one time. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter was given a speech one time, and she mentioned something about good mentors and bad mentors. And I thought to myself, you know, and she said, you can learn from both. And I thought back in my life, and I realized, yeah, some of the early people that I reported to, some of my bosses had some fairly bad behaviors. And I remember thinking, I am not going to be like this when I go further up the line. So you can learn from the good and the bad.
Everybody, wow, that's amazing, certainly. Sadly, we've only got about 8 minutes, but we still have some important questions, Bill, to ask you. We need help in this area because there's sensitive information at work.
Oh, yeah.
Helping with politics, complexity, even costly items in the workplace. Maybe a thought or two is to how to cope with these and handle these, please.
Well, there's a couple of answers rolled to for those questions. In terms of politics in the workplace, I try to stay away from them. It's not all that healthy. I mean, everybody has a freedom of speech and so forth, but if you want to be a political activist, do it away from the workplace. Don't create dissent in the workplace over strong views that you just feel it necessary to tell other people. You can do that on your own time somewhere else, but not on the job. But sensitive information, I'm always amazed when you watch the news on television or read in the paper, how people have gotten in trouble, and then suddenly all of these emails and text messages surface that they wrote 5 and 10 years ago.
Yes.
And you can't take those things back. They're just, they're there forever. So be very careful with that. I know I tried to keep text messaging down to simple things like I'll be late to the meeting or what time is the meeting. Those kinds of things are helpful. But you don't get into any policy or thoughts or anything on emails. If I wanted to actually memorialize something, I would write out the email, have it on the screen, and I would call in my executive assistant or a couple of other people that I trusted in the office, and I say, read this and tell me if the message I'm trying to get across are you getting it? And
oh.
am I saying anything in here that's going to offend somebody that I don't really mean to say? And that's been very helpful. I had a number of times they'd say, well, this line right here, I don't understand what you're saying. Or that line is not exactly right. And so I would modify it and then hit the send button. But anything like that, I really hesitated to just on my own write up something and then send it because you can't get it back.
Oh, that is absolutely brilliant to get feedback, as you say, from a trusted colleague there.
And sometimes I'd get two of them to look over my shoulder at it. And we'd have the three of us would discuss it if it were something that touched on controversial issues.
Sure.
I did not want to be misunderstood. And it's so easy because in your head, you know what you want to say. But does the person receiving it understand the way you meant it? And the chances are maybe not.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it. And costly items, I think it's important to differentiate between what is really necessary when you've got a budget problem and what you just want. There's a big difference between needs and wants. Yes.
That is great, certainly. If I perceive correctly, you're a believer, Bill, confidence is really important.
Expound first,
peel the onion on.
Okay, well, I want to say first, overconfidence is not good. That's bad because if you're overly confident, you tend not to listen to the opinions of others when you should, and you need that advice, and you don't listen because you think you know it all. That's overconfidence. But at the same time, you need to be confident in your own abilities because going back to what we said before, you're going to be in a position to make decisions, some of them controversial, and you need to feel confident in your decision-making process that you've taken everything into consideration. You've weighted against your own ethical values. Take the integrity test. And if you're comfortable with that, you need to be confident in going forward. Okay. Then the other part of that is if you're the leader, if you are not showing confidence in your decision-making and in your leadership, why should your followers be confident in you? You're an example. They want a leader that they trust. And if you're not confident in what you're doing, they're going to start to get worried about where you're leading them. So it shows. That makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. No doubt about it. We've only got about 2 or 3 minutes, but I've got two more important questions for you. Can leaders really influence and improve morale in the workplace? And maybe a tip for doing such, please.
Yes, they can. A lot of improving morale. I'm not sure all leaders can improve morale. Sometimes they just don't have it in their personalities to be able to do that. So I'm not sure all of the training in the world is going to necessarily help. But a lot of people do have that in their basic personalities, and they know, and they can use the help and tuning in on some of the things that are more important than others. Okay, some of the things that are really important are empathy, understanding the people that are working for you. What are their hopes and fears? What are their goals? And then you work with them to help them get there. People want to know that they're valued. They want to know that the work that they're doing has a purpose, and they want to do meaningful work. They want to work with people that they have respect for, and they want to be respected. And so those are all really important for building morale. Of course, being paid, believing that they're being compensated fairly, that's kind of at the top of the list. You got to get past that first. That doesn't mean you make a lot of money, but it means when they look around at other people doing similar work, they're not paid less than those. And if that's kind of a baseline, and then all these other things, people want to work in a safe environment. That's big for morale. If a lot of people are really not, nobody really likes a predator in the workplace.
Absolutely.
As a leader, you need to make sure that those sorts of aberrant behaviors are taken care of, and it's your job to take care of them. And maybe it might even mean getting rid of some people that are creating those kind of problems in your workplace. And those all have a huge positive effect on morale.
On morale, that's great. We've saved, Bill, the most important question for last. From where can our loyal listeners purchase So You Want to Be a Leader, Secrets of a Lifetime of Success? How can they best follow you, please?
I think the best way is to go to my website, which is all lowercase, williamfmerck.com.
Great. Listeners, it couldn't be any easier than that. William F. Merck and Merck, M-E-R-C-K.com. Do yourselves a favor. Bill has just shared, he's a great Franciscan. He has shared the last half hour all these nuggets. He could have held on to the good. He came on this morning with us, shared the good. Now it's your turn. Buy one copy of this book. Buy actually more and give them out as gifts. Share the good, just like Bill has done this morning. We need a better workplace. We need greater leadership in the workplace and in the world. This book will go a long way to creating the workplace and world we are looking to do so. William F. Merck II, we can't thank you enough for gracing our airwaves today. We've been enlightened. Yes, we've been inspired. We need greater leadership in the workplace, and you have shared with us today how to get there.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
The honor was all ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that you wake up on Monday morning, just like Bill does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode of Thank God for Monday, have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.